And by the way, when we get to Israel, although we're kind of, you know, the Lord is good, watching things a bit, you just cannot go empty-handed. You have to go with gifts. So we will be meeting with Rabbi Moeller, who is a rabbi of one of the communities from Gush Katif that we visited with when we were there recently, and we'll be presenting some financial support. Their entire community is scattered all over Israel. They're living in hotels. The parents are not even on the same floors with their children. It's very, very difficult for them. How can we, with all this abundance, where we waste more than most people have, how could we go there empty-handed? So we'll be going, whether you've given to that or not, representing you, to give them whatever financial resources we can to help them. And we give every year to the Israeli Defense Forces, the tank folks up in the Golan Heights and other places. You just cannot go there and not take support. So if you're a builder of Zion with IHCS, you're part of that too. So God bless you. Psalm 102. Just talk a little bit about this evening. But there are many, many signs of the coming of the Lord, of course. But there's one, what I call the sign. And we're going to read it here. It's not one that they talk about much in the Christian churches. Maybe they're not aware of the sign. But we want to become aware of that this evening. Amen. Psalm 102, verse 12. But you, O Lord, why don't we just read it together? It doesn't matter what translation you have. The Lord speaks all the translations. Amen. You ready? Verse 12. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Did you see it? The very last one, verse 16, for the Lord shall build up Zion. Let's say it. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. If we were writing that today, if I was writing it, you know, we would say, when the Lord builds up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Or for the Lord shall build up Zion, then he shall appear in his glory. Now what this means, beloved, and don't anyone take offense, because you know how we like to sort of think we're the center of the universe. Y'all have known somebody like that probably. The coming of the Lord has nothing to do with the Christian church at all. The coming of the Lord has to do with the Jewish people in God's faithfulness to his covenant with Abraham, to the Jewish people. And this is something that the Christian church hardly knows anything about, not being ugly or anything. It's just blinded by their replacement theology. They're thinking that the Christians are Zion. Well, you know, I don't see Jerusalem around here anywhere. You know, and we have tremendous amount of Greco-Roman Christianity rather than Judeo-Christian Christianity. And the Lord is working overtime to take the Greco-Roman part out of that. And he's also working with our Jewish friends around the world to take the rabbinic part out of their part. And when the rabbinic part gets out of their part and the Greco-Roman part gets out of our part, guess what? We'll be left as one remnant of people crying out, Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. And that is the sign of the coming of the Lord. It's called building up Zion. So I want to talk with you just for a few moments about that. It says here in the scriptures, you know, this is, we have a full 12-week courses on all this, you know. So it's just a short presentation to help you. It says that there's a set time for God to do something. God has prophetic seasons. Most are not aware of this. When he does a certain thing for several hundred years, and then he moves on and does something else for several hundred years, and then he moves on and does something else for several hundred years, and he has a big clock up in heaven that he watches. And he goes by this prophetic redemptive time clock for when he wants to move things forward a bit down here on planet Earth. And it's always moving forward to the consummation of the ages and the coming of the Messiah. And so he is Lord of time, and all of time is contained within God because he's outside of time. He transcends time. He's eternal and infinite in all that he is, and that's a whole nother 30 hours on just that one thing. But God has a clock in heaven. We're using human terms here. And he's not where he used to be, but he's where he is now. And the most boring thing of Christianity is being where God used to be, not where he is now. Hello, somebody out there? Believe me, if I had to get up to the old prophetic seasons, I would not get out of bed. There's no motivation to it. It's boring. But to be where God is now, see, that's exciting. That gets Peggy and I out of bed every day. And we're not getting younger. We're getting better. Hallelujah. Amen. We're both senior citizens. We're supposed to be kicking back and watching you guys do all this stuff. By the way, I was handed a note. My little darling D out there, while dancing, I love it. While dancing. It could have been while snoring through the sermon. While dancing, I lost one of my rings. It's red, white, and blue. Well, hello for that, you know. If possible, would you please make an announcement? Well, I did, didn't I? So, Dee, raise your hand over there. If you see Dee's red, white, and blue ring somewhere, please slip it on her finger, would you, before you leave this evening. Okay, Dee, God bless you, hon. So God has this big prophetic plan, and he moves it forward every 300 or 400 years or so. And it's called prophetic seasons. But it's all moving toward the fulfillment of his covenant with Abraham to give his descendants through Isaac and Jacob a land that would be theirs forever, and make them the head nation on the earth, not the tail nation, and prepare them for the second coming of Messiah, the cloud man from the book of Daniel. And God is a faithful covenant-keeping God. So all of history is called his story. See? And it's not primarily related to the nations of the world, like ours, for example, or the Roman Empire, or the Greek Empire, or no longer Great Britain, or whoever, but it's related to the remnant of the natural seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he promised to save throughout the ages among the Gentile nations. But there would come a point in time in history when he would whistle to them, it says in the Bible, that he would sound the shofar for them. Actually says that he will sound the shofar and call them back to the nation, to the land from all the nations, east, west, north, and south. Get them back into their land and make them a great nation and circumcise their hearts to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and might, and prepare them to cry out to the Messiah to come. And so it's in regathering, redeeming, and restoring the Jewish people back to their ancient land. This is what the Bible calls building up Zion. It has nothing to do with Christian denominations. It has nothing to do with Christianity at all, other than those who are part of God's Christian people are called by Him with a responsibility to participate in this divine process of redemption. Now, Peggy and I have had the honor of being part of this for 30 years, and we give you these sheets and things, and we ask you to become a builder of Zion to give you the privilege of participating. See? You just can't go home from a meeting like this and have churchianity and business as usual. You've got to find God's place for you with this thing called building up Zion. I'll say it in love to you, not meant because I have this heart of love for you. He will pass you by. And you will miss what He has for you and what He's doing. It says that God will arise. That means He's going to get up off His throne, hallelujah, and take an active role in moving forward. I have to discipline myself because it goes on forever, this lesson, you know, trying to get this in a little kernel of it. He will get up and do something. He will extend His mighty right arm of righteousness into the earth and move forward things quickly. With His authority, with His power, it changes nations. It changes the destiny of nations. It changes the destiny of families and churches and people and the world. It upsets everything that we're comfortable with. It's called a new prophetic season. And God's prophetic season is Sukkot, Tabernacles, when all the nations will go and celebrate Him in Jerusalem. That's what we've been honored to do for all these years and take the people all these years. That's why we take the groups. We don't go just to go, but give you a chance to be part of God's end time plan of building up Zion. It says God will arise. He will more visibly actively talk about hurricanes. He will more visibly be involved in world events so that we can see it more clearly. That none will be without excuse to build up Zion. It won't be long when all 6 million Jewish people in America will be gone. Where's that going to leave you and me? Now, our Jewish friends don't want to hear that, so don't go out and tell all our Jewish friends I said that. Okay? I'm talking to our Christian friends here tonight. And so, as you can imagine, what that will do to our nation. God is going to actively move beyond behind the scenes in such a visible, powerful way that all the nations will see it and eventually glorify His name. Amen. This is not a time to be timid and afraid. The greatest outpouring of the glory of God ever is at hand. But it will be on those connected to His redemptive plans and purposes to build up Zion. Because that is what He's doing. And of course the nations oppose that. All the UN nations hate Israel. They don't even want them to exist. Because if they can get rid of them, they can conquer God. They know they can't conquer God, but if they can conquer His first team people, the Jewish people, and the redeemed in Israel, then they won, see. That's the plan, to boot the Jews out of Israel, to run them into the sea. And I have to tell you, with all great heartache, our State Department is the primary leader of that. Unless there is a miracle from God, our State Department will bring the severest judgment of God on America, and we will be a third world country soon. That doesn't get a big offering, I'm sure. See, I have to stand before God and answer to Him for what I tell you. But if you're partnering with Him in building up Zion, when it's dark in Egypt, there's light in the land of Goshen. God will bless you because you're doing what He is doing, not what He did, but what He is doing. And He says, I've got to go on quickly, you know, it's so much. He says, I will have mercy on Zion. I will have mercy on them. It means His steadfast loving kindness and faithfulness to His covenant with Abraham. Look at the Jewish people in this tiny little state of Israel. They're hardly nothing. 45 seconds in a F-15 east to west, 14.5 minutes north to south. It's such a tiny little place. And they've won all these wars, and they're still there. Most of the high-tech stuff coming out of the world that is in all areas of our world, agricultural science, technology, computers, medicine, biology, most of the advances are coming out of these young people in Israel. They don't know how to market stuff, but they got great brains for finding stuff. They'll probably find cancer cure. So the American companies who are gone kapluk as far as research and development, they're great at marketing, so they're buying up these young kids and their young high-techy companies to have a joint venture with them to make money off of them and bring their stuff to America, you see. God will have mercy on Zion. He's going to continue, in spite of their own silliness and failures, He's going to continue to pour out His blessings upon them. The Bible says there's a certain thing as the times of the Gentiles. Jesus said the times that Jerusalem would be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles to the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There's something called the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled. It means God's favor on the Gentile nations will come to a close. We're the last one left of all the Gentile nations. And you saw what one hurricane did. It doesn't take much to take us down and humble us. But there's something called the times of the Gentiles. And it begins to come to an end when the Jewish people retake their ancient city, Jerusalem, which they did in 1967. And that was the beginning of the end of the times of the Gentiles. Think about the world powers and what's happened since 1967. But it says the time to favor Zion has come. So I need to give you just a few minutes here of what does that mean? What is Zion? Because there's so much false teaching about these subjects on television by the preachers. The word is found 159 times in the Bible. See, that's all you got to do is read the Bible. 152 times in the First Testament, 7 times in the New Testament. It was the Jebusite fortress that David captured. You can all read it all right there in the Bible. David called it the City of David. We can take you right now to the ruins of the City of David, which was biblical Zion. He brought the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle of David there. We'll have a little reenactment of that in December. Solomon built his temple there, and then he moved the ark just a little north to Mount Moriah, which is the current Temple Mount place in Jerusalem. And the name Zion was extended from David's city to include the Temple Mount and the temple that Solomon had built. Eventually, it was used to refer to the whole of Jerusalem, all of the land, and all of the Jewish people in covenant with God in the land. Zion is called the City of God. It ultimately, eventually, in its fullest end of the age measure, applies to the New Jerusalem. But you can't spiritualize all of this and say, well, that's the church or something. No, it's a piece of land. See? With dirt and rocks and flowers and the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea and people. You see, It's God's covenant people, the Jewish people, in his covenant land, dwelling in God's covenant place. And he says, I will regather and restore. And we don't have a lot of time for all that. But beginning in the 1880s and on through to modern times, please get the little booklet, The Time to Favor Zion Has Come. It's just too much to go into. But over and over, Israel's had all these wars. There's no way they could ever possibly win, but they always win. It's because God is having mercy on them, you see. He's showing favor to them. It's too much to go into. But it is God's plan to bring all the Jewish people back from all the nations of the world. And America is the last major place, and already little seeds of Jewish people from North America are making aliyah, meaning going up to the land. And anytime you see Christians have been the leaders in all this for years, the Christian Zionists, helping them from the former Soviet Union and so forth. But anytime you see in North America a small seed of Jews with a Jewish organization taking the lead now, not a Christian now having to do it all, it's called provoking them to jealousy. Now we have Jewish organizations in North America taking plane loads of Jews to Israel to live. It's just a small little seed. It's just several thousand every year. It's hardly nothing. But see, that's the way God works. Whenever you see a small little seed, you know that in the next few years, that small little seed is going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And this is what we should watch for happening in our own country and the remnant that are left in the other nations. He's bringing them back, preparing them for the coming of the Messiah. The regathering of them, the redeeming of them, and the restoration of them. This is not something the Jewish people know or understand, but they're doing it without having an understanding of why they're doing it. In Ezekiel 39, he says, I will leave none of them behind. None of them behind. And as more go, Israel, in spite of all of her problems, will continue to have the blessing of God. It will continue to have Jews making aliyah there. It will continue to grow numerically in every other way. It will continue to bring forth incredible technological blessings to the world in all areas of life, because it's the time to favor Zion. And it even says, God, see, like he put some punctuation mark behind it. He says, yes, the set time has come. When you get up in the morning, you usually set the alarm clock. And you see the Jews back in their land, back in Jerusalem, with all of their foolishness from their politicians. I had the blessing of taking Rabbi Benny and Yuri to the airport at 5:30 the other morning after the meeting. Hello. But I had a captive audience. I got to tell them everything I wanted to tell them. They couldn't go anywhere. I said, Benny, this man has such a heart. Oh, if he could ever be prime minister. I said, Benny, if the Israeli government would turn to God, because he's going to agree with everything I'm saying, you know, I'm on safe ground, but I'm still saying it. If the Israeli government would turn to God and not try to be like all the other nations, and not look to Washington, but look to the covenant God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and do what is biblically covenantal correct for Israel, millions of Christians would get on the next plane and fly to Israel and support you and be there for the people of Israel. He put his head down like in disgrace and shame. I know in my heart what you're saying is true. It's our problem. But one day there will be a leader in Israel that will do that. And one day, the Christians who are awakened by God will grab a hold of the tzitzit of a Jewish man and say, we want to go to Jesus' hometown because we see that God is with you. We want to go with you. There will be this remnant of Christians and this remnant of Jews that God will bring together as the one new man, crying out, Baruch Abba Bashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and he will come. Again, it doesn't have anything to do with our church programs, God bless them all, and our denominations and our strategies and schemes to have our TV program and all the things that churches do. God bless all that they do if it's under the Lord. But it has to do with God's plan. He says, I'm going to place salvation in Zion. And there's never going to be peace until that happens. Because he says, I have a controversy with the nations because they don't like my plan. And I'm going to bring them down to nothing and humble them. And I'm going to lift up my covenantal land of Israel. Every Christian believer who is awakened to that, is partnering with God in that divine process of redemption, will be blessed beyond measure. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm setting before you tonight, life or death. Choose life. Choose the blessing of God, not the judgment of God. He will judge all the nations and all the Christian churches that have this replacement theology stuff. Peggy will tell you for 30 years, I've been teaching the greatest divide in the Christian church since the Reformation will come over what we're talking about here tonight. And because we are family here, we want you to get the blessing side. See? The Lord says, oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. The redeemed will come to Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Doesn't matter what the nations do. God's in the heavens laughing, it says in Psalm 2. We have serious problems here in America because our leaders in Washington, particularly in the State Department, as I've said, hate what I'm talking to you about tonight. They don't want to see this happen. They are in trouble. But we're citizens of this country. And the righteous always suffer for the sins of their leaders. Can't name names and say things I know, but we have to pray and educate ourselves about these issues and become activists, because the destiny of America, beloved, is in your hands. Wow. It is. Unless the Christians who are Bible-believing and who understand these things and are awakened to it get involved in the process, American government will never change. It rests in our hands. That's a pretty big responsibility. I love to follow Allah as much as anybody, You know, we initiated Falala in Houston, if you remember, 9 years ago. It took us 6 months for anybody to ever get out of their chair and Falala. I love all that. It's part of Tabernacles. But we also have a serious responsibility to get involved in the process. Now, I'm going to close with one last scripture. This is from Psalm 22 to encourage you. It says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. Do you hear that? All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over the nations. The best is yet to come, brothers and sisters. The glory of God is soon to be poured out beyond anything that we have ever known. The Torah will go forth from Jerusalem. The glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. But it's on the remnant that are involved and awakened and participating in the process of building up Zion. That is the sign of the coming of the Lord. And I hope that the Spirit of God is helping us see that here this evening, and that we'll do something about it. We'll ask the Lord to show us. Am I assigned to IHCS? If not, that's fine. But God assigns people to ministries. And if He's assigned you to IHCS, then you need to find out what He wants you to do with all of us who are giving our lives and every second of our life to partner with God in this divine process of building up Zion. We invite you to contemplate that at home and do what the Lord reveals to you, and let us hear from you. Well, God bless you. We're going to have a song and a prayer.